Prayer is about requesting. Now, so far, the instruction about prayer from the Lord Jesus has been focused solely upon God. The prayer opens with an exclusive desire to bring honor and glory to God. He is exalted as Father, our Father which art in heaven. His name to be honored and glorified. Hallowed be thy name. His kingdom is important. Thy kingdom come. His will is to be sought. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So we're taught here to pray. And again, this is a model prayer that should guide us in our prayers. Pray for his glory. Pray for his kingdom. Pray for his will. Everything centers, as it should, around God, the God of glory and his honor. Now, the next verse, verse 11, now we're taught to pray for ourselves. Now, on the surface, this particular prayer, petition, seems to be kind of narrow and selfish. It's compared to the broad, unselfish attitude that was given to us in the first part of the prayer. In the first part of the prayer, everything is spiritual. Here, we're starting to get into some, if we please, even sensual, because it has to do with our senses. You know, when you get hungry, right? It has to do with a sense of hunger. I'm not talking about sensual in a bad way, but it could be even called selfish or fleshly in nature. But turning the spotlight off of God onto ourselves does seem petty and selfish and small. And yet even this request for our personal needs is very intensely spiritual in nature. In truth, this petition elevates our hearts and our God. And even though we are asking a request for ourselves, the spotlight still rests squarely in the face of the Almighty. As truly as prayer is about adoration, it's about devotion, it's about worship, it's also about asking, and it's also about dependence upon God for our needs. So we're going to consider this simple sentence, "Give us this day our daily bread." As we do, we're going to learn that prayer is about requesting. First of all, the devotion of this prayer. By praying this simple prayer, I am saying that I believe in certain things. By coming to God to request the provision of basic needs of life, I am entering into a time of profound worship. In reality, no higher form of worship exists than a child of God to enter into the presence of the Heavenly Father and unashamedly declare, "I cannot make it without you. I am totally dependent upon you, Lord." So many times people, and even Christians, say, "I can handle this. I've got this." But we have to realize we are totally dependent upon God. So first of all, we are in this prayer, we're saying, "I believe in God's power." When I pray for God to meet my needs, I'm proclaiming my faith in his power to do just that. I'm telling my Father that I believe he is able to take care of me. And this is the Bible's testimony concerning our God. A few passages that would give us that testimony. Job 42:2, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from you, from thee." Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." He is able, and he will take care of his children. Now, if our God can create everything from nothing, then don't you think he can take care of you and me? If he can feed 2 million Israelites for 40 years in the desert, don't you think he can take care of you and me? If he can do all the great things he did throughout the pages of the Word of God, then we do not need to doubt his ability to take care of us. He's able, and he will see to it that our needs are met. I'm so thankful this evening that God is able. So I believe in God's power when I pray this prayer. I also believe in God's promises. When I pray this simple prayer, I'm confessing my faith in the promises that God has made to his children. You know, the Bible is very clear when it tells us that the Lord will take care of his own. Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Familiar verse, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:25, you go all the way from verse 25 to verse 34, and then it says there, in part there, it says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought up for things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God has promised to take care of his children. And then thirdly, I believe in God's personality. When you ask God for your daily needs, we're not just trying to twist his arm and get him to give us things that he does not want us to give or want us to have. We're not trying to overcome his reluctance to meet our needs. We're just laying out an appeal to God for his provision. We're humbly acknowledging his willingness to forgive. Nothing honors God more than his children coming to him in childlike faith, asking him for what they need, believing that he loves them and that he is a generous God. We would not say that God is a Scrooge who has to be persuaded to meet our needs. No, he's our Father. And he delights in giving us the good things of life. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we can just look at all the great gifts that God has already given us. Especially consider the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He is open-handed. He's an open-handed God who rejoices in the opportunity to give to his children. And so this prayer acknowledges that and honors that aspect of God's personality. And then we notice the dependence of this prayer. Not only does this prayer honor the Lord by worshiping him as the great giver, it also expresses that total dependence of the child of God upon his heavenly Father. You notice what this prayer says about us and our relationship to the heavenly Father. It is a prayer of confession. This simple statement says, I can't meet my own needs, but you can, God. And when I pray this prayer, I'm confessing my own weakness, my own limitation. I'm confessing that I believe that God is able where I'm not able. And when I pray prayer, I'm not resting in my own ability to work out get the food onto my table. I'm acknowledging the truth that I can only work because God gives me the strength. And I'm expressing that truth that he is God and I am totally dependent upon him for things that I need as I pass through this life from day to day. Now, you do realize that there's no such thing as a self-made man. And the world wants us to believe that there's such a thing as a self-made man. There's no such thing. Paul had to get a handle on that when he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If we have anything If we are anything, it's because the gracious working of God in our lives. I must come to the place where I am honest about who is really in control. So it's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of confidence. The idea of this simple prayer is, give us day by day the things that are necessary for life. And this is not a request for God to meet the needs that are not yet arisen. It's an expression of faith in God and says, I believe you'll take care of me one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. Someone has said, yesterday is a canceled check. It has already been redeemed. Tomorrow is a promissory note. It may never be paid. Today is cash in hand. Spend it wisely. Now, there's no need to pray about yesterday's needs, because yesterday is gone. You can never go back and do yesterday over, although sometimes we think, well, I sure wish I could do that day over. But it's gone. There's no need about tomorrow. There's no need to pray about tomorrow's needs, because you know what? We may not see tomorrow. I'm told to pray about today and to walk in simple faith with the Lord day by day. And remember what Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now I believe far too many believers try to live on yesterday's bread. Well, yesterday's bread is stale. It's getting moldy. What you need is fresh bread day by day. We need a fresh work of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives, every day we live. We're to walk with Him on a day-by-day basis, trusting Him for all the needs of our lives. We need His righteousness for our sinfulness. We need His supply for our weakness. We need His patience for our haste. We need the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, to nourish us day by day. By the way, when you eat your bread, your daily bread, remember, there was a kernel of wheat that had to fall into the ground and die in order to give you that bread. As you pass through this life, never forget that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died in your place so you might have Him as your bread of life day by day. You need Him. Do not be afraid to call upon Him in confidence, knowing that no one comes to the Heavenly Father's table and goes away hungry. John Wesley displayed this kind of contentment with day-by-day provision of his Heavenly Father. Once Wesley was asked by a friend, supposing, Mr. Wesley, you knew that this was to be your last night on earth, how would you spend it? That's an interesting question. If you knew that this was your last night, well, Mr. Wesley answered, well, at 4 o'clock I would have some tea. And then at 6 o'clock, I would visit Mrs. Brown in the hospital. And then at 7:30, I would conduct a midweek service at the chapel. And from 9 to, say, 10, I might have my supper. And by 10 o'clock, I would go to bed. And in the morning, I would wake up in glory. How would you spend if you knew this was your last day on earth? It kind of puts a perspective on life, doesn't it? We should want God's best for each and every day. Today, be content to leave tomorrow in His capable hands. And then that brings us to a prayer of contentment. This simple prayer is saying, I'm willing to accept things you will send in my life today. I may not always like the bread God sends my way, but I can trust Him to send me exactly what I need day by day. So if I'm called upon to eat the bread of sorrow, eat the bread of affliction, well, God knows best. And if I'm allowed to feast on angels' food and heavenly manna, then that too is his choice for me. My duty is to trust him in my life exactly what he needs to be done day by day. Now, the practice of contentment is one of the greatest challenges of any believer's life. And yet, that is what God expects from each one of us. Nothing says, "I trust you, Lord," like perfect contentment on the part of his children. And may the Lord help us to get there and to walk with the Lord in total dependence each and every day. Israel presents an example of praying out of the wrong motive, wrong heart. The kind of praying that we should avoid at all cost. And the prayer of Agur in Proverbs 30:7-8 is a prayer you might want to take a good look at. Let's just turn there very quickly. Proverbs 30. And look at this prayer of Agur. Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 8. It says at the beginning of the chapter, the words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukel. But down in verse 7 and 8, we find his prayer. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. That's his prayer. And that is not a bad prayer. Something that we perhaps need to meditate on and look at. And I challenge you to do that. It might be a prayer you might want to adopt. Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 8. That brings us to the depth of prayer. Now on the surface, this simple request, give us this day our daily bread. It's a very simple, straightforward request. And yet when you think about it, the prayer is very large in its scope. First of all, it's a communal prayer. Notice what it says. Those two particular words here. Give us, more than one, our daily bread, us and our. It's not a prayer that we just pray selfishly for ourselves. It's not just about getting my needs, but it's about praying for the needs of the family of God. We are challenged and commanded to have the best interest in our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we pass through this life and as we pray, we're to pray for one another, for preachers, for teachers, for missionaries, for single mothers, for struggling teenagers, for families that are suffering, for the sick ones, for every conceivable need in the lives of others. So those are some of the things that we pray about each Wednesday night. But we ought to be praying for those things on a daily basis. Many times when I could not pray for myself as I should have, but I'm thankful there were others that were praying for me. The prayers of God's children are precious and should be offered one for another. And do that quite often. One day a preacher visited a bedfast member of the congregation, and he said, "I'm sorry I'm late today," as he was visiting this older member. They said, "I've been all around the parish." "Why," said the old woman, "that's just where I've been." "But you cannot walk," exclaimed the astonished pastor. "Ah," but the old saint said, "you see, my soul isn't bedridden, so I just go around the parish every day in prayer while I lie here." You know, you may not be able to get up and go around, but you can certainly pray for one another. And then it's a comprehensive prayer. One commentator said this phrase could be expressed this way: "Give us this day the thing sufficient for our subsistence." This is more than a prayer for food. Often we just think, well, this is praying for our food. But it's a humble request for God to provide everything we need to make it through day by day. If we could ever get to the place where we truly trust him for all that we need every day, and then worry would die out of our lives. We'd be in a place of contentment and peace, knowing that our Heavenly Father is in perfect control of all situations. And let me just quickly say this. It is not wrong to pray for your needs. Some people will not pray for themselves, thinking, well, that's selfish, that's fleshly, that's not spiritual. But Jesus clearly commands us to pray for the necessities of life. And so let us not be ashamed to bring every need, every matter to him, knowing he will hear us, sustain us, and supply us as we move through this world. You know, God did not save us to allow us to perish on the wild hills of sin. We are the children of the King, and we have a right to approach the King for the things we need. I trust the Lord will help us realize that when we ask, and if we ask, we will receive. God's not tight-fisted, he's not mean-spirited, he's not a heartless dictator who delights in his children, watching his children struggle. But God is gracious, God is loving. Our Heavenly Father delights in giving his best gifts to those who know him. It was Robert McShane, a great Scottish preacher of many years ago, who mightily was used of God until his death at the age of 29. He said, God will either give you what you want or something far better. A fellow by the name of Samuel Chadwick, go back to him, Samuel Chadwick said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless works, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, and trembles when we pray. So let's be encouraged to come to God, our Father, tell him about the needs of our lives. Never be afraid, never be ashamed, never limit your praying just to big things. You know, we can't just have, you know, when we have a big decision, that's not the time to start praying. It's those little things every day that we need to pray for. Now, notice the promises he has given to us. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. John 14:13-14, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Matthew 21:22, in all things, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I wonder, are there some things you need to be praying about this evening? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your instructions concerning prayer and the things that all of this means is tremendous things to be thinking about. And we pray, Lord, that we will come to you unafraid, unashamed, never limiting our praying just to big things, but come to you and every day, day by day, with all the things in our lives that take place. Help us as we pray for one another, as we pray tonight together for others in our church family who cannot be here. We just pray, Lord, for a blessed time as we make our request known to you. In Jesus' name, amen.